Wrote on the board, so great a cloud of witnesses. Just feel like the Lord's been dealing with me some this week. Thought maybe Anthony was going to start preaching this message Wednesday night. But we thank the Lord for His Word. It is so wonderful. I want to start in 2 Peter 1. And we entreat prayer this morning that the Lord would give us something for our souls. 2 Peter 1 and 16, it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as to a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." You know, this morning, I was just thinking a little about this little set of scriptures here that Peter spoke of. You know, he doesn't speak as a third party, but he says here that they were eyewitnesses of His majesty. When they were in the mount with the Lord, it says, "This voice which came from heaven we heard." Peter was an eyewitness. He heard it. He heard it with his own ears. Nobody told him about it. He was a first-hand spectator of it and a part of it all there when we were with him in the mount. And you know, they heard the voice and they were with the Lord and they were eyewitnesses of His majesty of what happened there. And I want to look over in Hebrews now and think about this first verse for a minute. Then maybe we'll come back here later. But it says here, "Wherefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, witnesses, as we said, are those that saw it firsthand. And the chapter before this, we all know, is just full of those that witnessed the grace of God firsthand. It's full of those that firsthand, they were witnesses of what God did. Noah was a witness of what the Lord did in his time. He was a witness of God's dealings with him. I was thinking about these witnesses and how that not only were they witnesses of the grace of God, but Anthony, forgive me, but last Wednesday night he told about how the Lord had blessed him with the scripture. And it was like, if I remember right, you said something like, you saw this. It's like you envisioned this great cloud, this great group of people. And they were saying, "You can do it. Anthony, come on, you can make it." Is that right, Anthony? cheering him on, I believe he said. You know, this scripture here talks about a great cloud of witnesses. You know, a cloud is it's a great collection of vapor and molecules of moisture and all of those things. Until we look up and it may cover, the clouds will cover the whole sky. And the scripture says, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, this morning, the Lord has given us witnesses all around us, hasn't He? I believe heaven is full of millions of witnesses, that the grace of God is there, that it works, that we can stay in the race. I believe if we could hear them this morning, that they would be saying to us, you can make it. Come on, lay it aside. Go ahead and make the sacrifice. Come on, go ahead and go on. I believe that we would hear them saying that to us this morning. So great a cloud. Not a few, not one here or there, but I think about just the ones that I've known in my lifetime that I know are there. And I saw them giving their lives to the Lord. I saw them giving themselves to the will of God. And you know, it challenges me. Brother Michael is going over. I remember when Brother Michael went to Africa the first time with Brother Bob Salee. And I remember Bob was somebody that to me was a very special person. I saw his life. He told me about how he gave up his job down in Louisiana. And what a good job he had. And how he'd been setting money back and all of those kind of things. And Bob would tell us sometimes, and it wasn't like any kind of a loss. He was telling us how God had supplied his needs all these years since. And how that his savings began to disappear. But after a while, he was living on faith. And then he had all of this, all these years of supply that God had given to him. And you know, I look at those witnesses that I have seen with my own eyes. They're witnesses to the grace of God, that you can do the will of God in your life. They're witnesses that God is real, that He will do what He has said. They're witnesses that we can lay aside the things of this life and make heaven our home. You know, that's for all of us this morning. Folks, we need to get our eyes up on the cloud. Up on the cloud of witnesses. That's what the apostle is trying to tell us here this morning. Wherefore, we're compassed about with all this cloud of witnesses. He said, they've done it. They've made it. We have a list right here of many people that did that. But you know, that scripture goes on and it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a lot in this scripture. It talks about it's relating to a racer, to those in a race. And it's talking about not just laying aside things because, you know, well, just lay them aside. Just put them. He said, we're running a race, folks. He's likening it to a racer. And, you know, weight matters when you're in that kind of situation. I watched Robert, my son, last year, or the last few years. He goes hiking at least once a year up in the mountains in Colorado. And I've watched how that he adds up and starts weighing everything. And he weighs how much his bag weighs, his sleeping bag. And I never thought of all that in the terms that he has. But when you're hiking miles up steep trails in thin air, weight matters. And so I didn't know they made sleeping bags that weigh just a couple pounds. But they do. And if you're willing to pay for them, you can get them. And so he starts adding up. Okay, this food is going to weigh this much. And then this one is going to weigh this much. And this is going to weigh this much. And adds one upon another and then weighs the whole thing with the pack. It's too much. I don't want to carry that much. The food can be dehydrated. It can be like that. And so they start, the container weighs, all these containers weigh 2 pounds. I can fix them in different containers that weigh a half a pound. I can put some together and it weighs a lot less. Weight matters when you're going a distance. Weight matters to the fellow that's climbing the mountain. And what the apostle is telling us here this morning is, weight matters to you and me too. And the Lord tells us Folks, you're not going to make it easy. It's a journey that we're on. We don't just get saved and go to heaven usually the next day. And so we're going to have to lighten up. The things that would hold us back, the things that would make it hard for us to enter in, the Lord is telling us, lighten it up. Don't take too much of the world with you. This isn't your home. I want you to make it to heaven. And so the Lord is telling us, the loves of the world, the ambitions of the world. Don't we love to get involved in things? Sure we do. We enjoy getting involved in business. We enjoy getting involved in going and doing fun things. Don't we all? We enjoy those things. But I believe the apostle is telling us, don't carry too much. It might keep you from making it in the long haul. Don't take too much of the world with you. Remember, it's just a means to an end. We're trying to get to heaven. We're not trying to carry the world with us. We're not trying to see what all we can get and do in this world. That's not my aim. It wasn't the Lord's aim. It wasn't the apostles' aim. But I'll tell you what theirs was. It was to do the will of God. And many times these things impede our ability to do the will of the Lord in our life. And we find ourselves barely making it, struggling for air, stopping every little bit. I can't hardly make it. We've got too much on us sometimes, folks. And the scripture tells us, lay aside the weights that would hold us back. Lay aside the lust of the flesh and of the world. What are lusts? Many times they're good things out of control. Many times lust is just too much desire for something until it captivates our life. And the Lord wants us to get to heaven. And He knows that if we settle our hearts on things here, it'll hold us, it'll make it hard for us. It'll make it a hard climb. And so, I just put in my notes, replace them. Replace them with a lighter version. Replace them with a better version of happiness. Replace the things that drain our spiritual lives, that we know it makes it hard for us to have time to pray. We know it makes it hard for us. We feel like, well, I need to pray before I can pray. I need to, I know I haven't really been doing the will of God. Replace those things that cause us to feel drained spiritually. Replace them with a lighter, better version of God's will. Replace them with God's will. Take those containers that are too heavy. Take those things that we're carrying that we don't need. I didn't realize it gets down to the backpacker. It gets down to the weight of the rope and all of those things, and they start figuring out. All these professionals have it figured out. They figured out how to get a pack that'll carry the same amount of stuff with a pound lighter or 3 pounds lighter. And so I thought the pack I used when I was a young person was lightweight. It had an aluminum frame and it had a nice pack. They don't even have the frame anymore. They have it figured out where maybe it's a little more ergonomical even on your back or whatever you want to call it. It fits better. And it doesn't have that weight. Now, I know we're not talking about just trying to figure out every little thing, but I will tell you what we do want to do. We want to carry in our life the will of God. And everything else that's not the will of God, that doesn't fit in that. Sure, we enjoy life. Oh, how we do. Don't we enjoy going with our family places and going to the mountains once in a while and all of those things? But when they become lust, or when they become too great a desire, or when they become too much in our life, and when things begin to choke us, and we begin to realize, I'm choked. I don't have enough breath. I don't have enough time to worship the Lord. I don't have enough time to study His Word. Then isn't it time to lay aside the weight? We have to do that ourselves. The Lord usually don't just take it off of us. We have to consider our bag. Consider what we're carrying. Consider what we're doing. and make some choices. I don't want to carry all of that. It's making it too hard for me. And the Lord, I believe, wants us to replace those things with the will of God. We read over in Matthew 6 and 24. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But I'm not just thinking about mammon this morning. You really can't serve God and anything else. You can't serve God and worldly pleasures be the focus of your life either. But we can serve God. And if we suit ourselves up, the trip can be a joy. We face many things, many disheartening things, but the Lord wants to pour joy into our heart. I know that. He wants to pour peace into our heart in the times of trouble. But if we're so heavy down with things of this life that we can't do that, we'll never find those places with the Lord. The witnesses that we're following were people just like us. I want us to think about that this morning. You know, Moses was a man just like we are. I don't believe Moses was some superhuman person. Moses, when the Lord called him, you know what he said? He said, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore. I've never been eloquent, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And Moses, he angered the Lord. He argued with the Lord. Lord, I just can't do that. I can't talk. You know, the Lord, the people that we are following, laid aside their own hindrances and did the will of God because God called them to it. This morning, God is calling all of us to those things this morning. To lay aside our hurts. To lay aside, we can't carry them. They're too heavy for us. How do we lay them aside? We die to them. We seek the grace of God. We turn away from them and we turn to the Lord. And we tell Him, Lord, I want Your forgiveness. I want the light version. I want the lightness of love to be in my heart. I don't want to carry around the heavy things of hurt, bitterness, and all those disappointments. I can't carry them. Every little bit I have to stop and get some more help and get past this thing again and again. And the Lord wants us to get rid of the thing. He wants us to get a heart full of love. And He wants us to carry that to heaven. That's a joy to carry. It's a joy when you don't have anything against anybody. When everybody is somebody that you love. When no matter who it is, maybe they just hurt you. But because you don't carry it, you can go up to them and love them. That's the joy of God. That's the blessing of the Christian that the Christian has. You know, this morning, let's lay aside every weight. Let's lay aside all the things that would beset us and that would keep us from our journey to heaven. I want the Lord to help us all to make it. Lay aside the pride of life. You know, pride is a big thing. Pride, we all want to fit in, don't we? We don't want to be odd. We don't like, most of us don't. We don't like to be different. But you know, there is a cross that we have to take. And some people aren't willing to take that. And if we take the pride of life and we try to be somebody that we're really not, or we try to become something that we see in a vision of pride or prominence or something like that, you know that we can't carry that to heaven. It's too heavy. It'll burden us down. We'll never make it. The Lord wants us to just resign ourselves to the better, lighter version that's lighter to carry to heaven. The version that I just want to be God's child. That's all. I just want to be His child. I want to serve Him. I want to serve people. I want to do the will of God. That's what the Lord, if we can get some of these things in our heart, trade them out. Take a look at what we're carrying to heaven. Take a look at what we think we're carrying to heaven. And get rid of those things that we know aren't going to go there. Some of those things aren't going to go this morning. They will stop us. We mentioned pleasures and lust. I want to mention it again because it's a big thing. At different phases of our life, young people have different temptations in some ways than other people do, than older folks do, as far as their worst temptations. Pleasures is one of them. Let's party it up. I want to tell you, the devil lives there. That's where he controls things. You go on his territory and people are drinking and doing the things the devil does. And I want to tell you, you're in a dangerous place this morning. Don't get in those places. Don't let the devil have that place in your life. Lay it aside and run the race with patience. Run for heaven. Run for your life. Let the Lord have His way. These men and women did this. Noah, we mentioned, you know, he left the life he would have had, whatever that is. He left that to build an ark for many, many years. He left the prominence that he would have had to serve the Lord and do His will. And he took instead, I am sure, many jests and many jokes about this big boat he was building up on dry land. And how, Noah, when's the water going to come now? Tell us what day it's coming so we can get in with you. I can hear them all kinds of jesting, all kinds of punches, pokes into his sides. But Noah believed God. And Noah served God in his day. And this morning, doesn't the Lord want us to do the same? Doesn't He want us to take up our cross and follow Him? You know, the scriptures in Hebrews 11 mentions so many there. And each one of them had a story to tell. But I will tell you, each one of them had to forsake their ways. And they had to forsake who they were to be able to serve the Lord with all of their heart and make it to heaven. I thought about the kinds of people that they were. The type of situations they were in. You know, the same personality traits that you and I have, that we feel like probably many of us here at times have wished we were different personality. When I was young, it seemed like, or maybe through the years, for some years anyway, it was like, you know, I wish I was more like so-and-so. Haven't we wished that? There is a cloud of witnesses, and it is made up of every personality trait. The things that bother you and me, there's going to be folks in heaven just like us. And they overcame. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the things that they faced. And we're going to say in that day, if we allowed those things to stop us, we're going to say, but Lord, perhaps we'll say that. But you know, I think the Lord's going to have maybe a few hundred thousand or a few million just like us. In a situation a whole lot like we had. And they made it. And they set their focus on heaven. And they set their eyes on the goal. And they stripped for the race. They laid off those things that they could hide behind. They laid off the things that they could say, well, you don't understand. I just can't do that. I'm not like that. I will tell you, if God begins to call us from sin with whatever personality we have and whatever situation we have, He has the grace. But it takes faith for us to believe that and to take off our hands from things and put them in the hands of God and let the Lord carry us through. Those things will stand before us and loom large. After we're saved, And the Lord wants us. Don't we know He wants us to seek Him with all of our heart? Don't we know that He longs to fill us with His Spirit, with the fullness of His presence in our life, and how He longs to do that? And we say, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid. If I would give my life to God like that, I don't know what He would call me to do. I want to tell you who's going to heaven. Those folks that throw up their hands to God. Say, Lord, take my life. I want You to use my life. I want You to take me through. It doesn't matter what You take me through, if You'll take me through. And they lay aside the things that would hinder them. Moses had a hard time. You know, the Lord saw that and He had mercy on him. Even though I'm sure He thought, you know, here I've got to speak to Moses. Moses, because Moses wasn't willing hardly. I hope I'm saying that right. But Moses argued with the Lord. I can't. I'm of a slow tongue, Lord, you see. You know, this morning, let's don't argue with the Lord. Let's just throw up our hands to Him. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Take me to heaven. Take me and use me. Use my life. Have you ever asked the Lord that this morning? Have you ever begged the Lord for that? You beg the Lord through the years? I hope we all do. I hope we beg the Lord. Lord, use my life. Please, it's only however long it is, maybe a max of 100 years. And I have this little time. Use it. Please do. I don't want to waste this life. And then come to the end and realize I burned it all up on foolish pleasures and lust and greed and all the things that the world offers. Don't let me do that, Lord. Break my leg if You have to. Can we pray that way this morning? I hope we do. The same type of personality traits, the same type of circumstances that we are in, and there's going to be maybe millions over there that turned their back on that situation too. They turned their heart to the Lord. They saw, they felt the pull. They felt the opposition. They felt the persecution. And they served the Lord this morning. There's going to be a lot of them over there. You know, I was thinking about Joseph. He knew the grief of bitter tears. Joseph was separated from his family. And how often have we heard this story? We know that Joseph was treated inhumanely. It was beyond, it's hard to believe his brothers could be so hard-hearted, but they were. They sold him to perfect strangers to go to another land and never be seen again, hopefully. They wanted him out of their life. They wronged him so badly. But he is going to stand at the judgment as a witness that God can take you through in a time like that. Folks, there's going to be people at the judgment that are witnesses. And so considering that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's take inventory of our life. Let's lay aside every weight. Consider the things that are costing us, the things that might not make us able to get there, that slow down our progress, that maybe we'll get there. And maybe we will only have done part of God's will. Maybe He longed to use our life in a greater way. Folks, there is so much potential in this group of people right here. The Lord wants it. He wants to use it. You think you're too old? Uh-uh. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to use our lives. You think you're too young? No. The Lord would love for all of us to just say, Lord, please take my life this morning and use my life. That's what sanctification is. That's a part of it. And the Holy Spirit is what God sends to put His stamp of approval. That stamp that He puts on there is a stamp that God put. It is His Holy Spirit that He puts in our life and cleanses us and takes us through many things. You know, I think about Daniel over here in 7 and 15. And the Lord was giving Daniel a vision here. And he looked at all of this, and it says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body. And the visions of my head troubled me. He didn't understand everything. But you know, I know that's just kind of a little piece there. But you know, we aren't going to understand everything either. And we're not always going to find everything out the next day. Sometimes we're going to have to go through life not understanding some things. Why did this happen? Why did the... You know, there's some things we're never going to understand. But we don't have to understand them. Those that have went before us didn't understand everything. But they served God. They still did His will. They still committed themselves to the will of God in their life. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do in our hearts this morning. You know, the scripture goes on to say there in Hebrews, where we were, Hebrews 12. It not only says lay aside every weight, but it says and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I want to think about that a little bit this morning. You know, it would do us all well to realize that the sinning has to stop. God hates sin. It separates us from Him. The sinning needs to stop. The evil doing needs to stop. The love, the consideration we have, the joy that people have in other people's sins needs to stop. If you read at the last of Romans 1 there, talks about those that, how does it say that? Those that were partakers or, let me look at that. Yes, those that have pleasure knowing, 1 and 32 of Romans, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know when we sit and watch other people do things and have pleasure in that? The Lord counts that against us. You know, He doesn't want us to be a partaker of their sins. The Lord doesn't want us to watch them. He doesn't want us to have that kind of thing in our life. And I was thinking about the sin that does so easily beset us. We don't want to regard sin with a lightness as if it is, as if it's no big deal. Folks, sin is what will take people to burn in an everlasting hell. Sin is what will cut people's communication with God. We don't want to take it lightly. The scripture says in Psalms 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, you know, I know people sometimes slip and something happens and they fall back on their face as Peter did and weep bitter tears and, Lord, I am sorry. But folks, I want to tell you, it's no funny thing. Young folks, I'm talking a lot to you here. To all of us, but it is no funny thing. Sin is not. Sin is no thing to be around. The more of it that is prevalent in a place, the more satanic powers have the preeminence in that place. And you subject yourself to those. Keep away from sin. It's not funny. It's not something to watch with pleasure. It's not something to dream about. I want to tell you, sin will ruin your life. And don't forget that. Steer way around it. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Why did He say that? Because you have to watch it. We have to watch it. That's why we don't get ourselves in those situations. Because we pray. We pray often, I do. Lord, keep me. Keep my feet from sinning. Keep my feet from going astray. I know many before me have gone astray. Oh Lord, help me not to. Break my leg if You have to keep me beside You. I don't want to go astray. You know, this morning, if we realize how wicked and how wrong sin is, how it breaks up homes and lives, it destroys people's fiber, who they are. When once someone was a strong young man, able to do things, sin will turn someone into a piece of bread, a strong man into something that's very little value to anybody. Sin will do that this morning. It says here, the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Consider our race. Consider what we are doing. Prepare for it. Let your life become part of it. Don't allow sin into us. It will deceive us as it deceived Eve. And she knew not what was going to happen. Samson did not know when he shared his secret and allowed the will of God to be taken out of his life. He didn't know what was going to happen to him, but he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Sin will do that to you. And we have such a sad story of Samson at the last. And yet at the first, it's such an amazing history of the feats of somebody that was moved upon by the power of God. And here the Lord had blessed Samson. And we read how he took these city gates and just picked them up, tore them loose from the walls. Could Samson have done that? No. But the power of God that was working with him picked up those gates. His hands went up with it. You know, that's what was at work. But Samson wist not that the Lord was departed from him, because he dabbled in sin. He dabbled in things he knew he was not supposed to be in that place. And then what happened? Satan reached in there and pulled out. He severed his relationship with the Lord. And then what happened? He lost his eyesight, didn't he? And he became a slave. And he worked grinding for them. You know, and then when they wanted somebody to laugh at, bring Samson out here. We've got something fun to go on here. You know, this morning, he that will love life, I want to read this in 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and 12 first. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do we know that this morning? Young folks, do you know that this morning? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I took these things into my heart when I was a young person. I realized this is truth. I don't want the face of God against me. But we look up in the 10th verse and see the promise of God. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Don't speak evil with your tongue. Don't love it when others do. Don't join in when others speak evil about people. Don't join in. It's not good. It's not funny. It's not something God blesses. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, no hypocrisy. Let him eschew evil, hate evil, put it far from him. Young folks, put it as far away as you can. Don't get around it. I'm telling you, it'll hurt you. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So this morning, when the Lord tells us to not do those things, let's run for our life. Wanted to read over in 2 Corinthians 6. I can only give you the best that my heart can impart to you this morning. But I wish I could tell you what I've seen and what I know. And many others here could too. I want to tell you, if you want to see good days and you want to enjoy life, love the Lord. Hate those evil things. Don't let your tongue speak evil. Don't let your tongue speak hypocrisy. And all of those things. Listen to what this verse says. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I believe this is a principle. I know what it's talking about here. It's talking about coming out from becoming involved with these heathens and what they were doing. But he says here, I want to read on up, starting at 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I want to tell you this morning, if there's unrighteousness, don't fellowship that. Don't let your life become closely intertwined with that. We might say, well, yeah, but they're nice people, they're good. If it is unrighteousness, don't let yourself become connected up with unrighteousness, with things that are wrong and evil. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Can the light and the darkness dwell in the same place? No. The light will drive it far away. As soon as you flip the lights on, the darkness is gone. That's the way it is in the things of God. We cannot have them both this morning. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Young folks, marry someone that's solidly saved, living for God, loves the Lord. Your life will be so much better with that. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be to you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't that a wonderful promise? The closeness that the Lord wants to have with you and I this morning. One more set of scriptures. In Hebrews 12, again, I want to read on down just a little bit and look at what the writer goes on to say. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, you know, he despised the shame. How did he despise it? He didn't worry about it. He didn't cut it any slack. If he was going to have shame, he was going to have shame from the world. And he said here, and is set down, listen to that, at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I want to leave us with those thoughts this morning. Let's look to the Lord. Look up to him. We talked about looking to the Lord last week. You know, the Lord wants us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He wants to take us to heaven. But we're going to have to get our eyes up off of these things. Get our eyes off of the weights that we're carrying and consider them. And weigh them up. And think about how much they're weighing us down. And take the things that are in those packages that God provides. See, he wants us to have many good things, but they'll be in his package. They'll be packaged in his will and not in our will. They'll be packaged in a way that it will bless our life. The Lord plans for us to work. He plans for us to have some leisure and some time to enjoy our families and things. The Lord wants that. That's his package. It's beautiful. It blesses our life, doesn't it? Isn't it wonderful to be able to enjoy the good things God has given? But see, when we package it in our package, and we want what we want, and it's outside the will of God, it becomes a weight. And if we're not careful, it'll keep us from going to heaven. There is a cloud of witnesses. I wonder how many millions it is. There is a great cloud of witnesses out there for thousands of years that has went before us that set their sights on heaven. And we can do the same this morning. Amen.